8 o'clock Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, the flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion, Vegas Golden Knights. Man, I'm really looking forward to saying that for as long as I can. Hey, we are streaming on the LV Sports Network, and if you're listening live for the first time, this is Out of Line. We are right here every Sunday morning at 8, coming to you from the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman, and we have a full studio this morning. Former UNLV quarterback and current UNLV color commentator on ESPN Radio Las Vegas. He allows me to call him his friend. I don't know why. Caleb Herring is here again for the second week in a row. Also in town from Northern California, Emily Van Buskirk, lead college football and basketball writer at Yard Barker, and Kaylee Krish. Among many other assignments, Kaylee, along with Emily, host a great podcast called Sideline Sass, and that is S-A-S with an extra S, okay? And the guy who makes this show happen, manning the wheels of steel, directly in front of you on my radio dial. How's that? Chris Magnum Chapman, he's producer, Lotus Broadcasting sports personality, and Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room correspondent. I don't know how you fit that on a business card. You can follow us on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and like the show on Facebook. That's Out of Line, OUTTALINE. And if you want to watch the show, we are on Facebook Live. If you're brave, check out any of our Facebook pages, and callers are welcome. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap, sponsored by the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On tap, we have the Runnin' Rebels. We're blazing in overtime. Yeah, I said the Runnin' Rebels. We're blazing in overtime. Nightcap goes from good to real bad in New Jersey. The Mitsubishi Las Vegas Bowl happened, and most of us in this room were there. Also, with Emily, Kaylee, and Caleb here, it wouldn't be right if we didn't talk about upcoming college bowl schedules and games we're looking forward to. Alan Snell's book is on the shelves, and he'll be in studio telling you where you're going to get a copy and maybe even giving one away on the air. We'll find out about that, and it's week 15 in the NFL. We'll talk matchups, playoffs, and our picks of the week. Caleb back on the winning track again. Damn it. What's on tap comes your way thanks to our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Again, check out cardinalfinancial.com. And guys, before we get started and before I introduce and say hello to everyone, I do want to send something out, and I'm going to put them up on Facebook. You can see a friend of mine if you're looking at this. And a very dear friend of mine, Andy Miller, passed away last Sunday, as a matter of fact, shortly after we got off the air. And long, long time friend of mine. Most of you out there don't know him, and unfortunately you don't, because truly a superhuman being. And I want to dedicate 30 seconds of my show to Andy Miller this morning before I even get started, if you guys don't mind. And dead air is something we don't try to do a great deal on the radio here, but in this case it's extremely special and means a great deal to me. So I'm going to give Andy 30 seconds of my time right here. I love you, brother. I miss you, and you will never be far from my heart.
Rabotham with five. Hardy still a long way from the basket. Hardy kicks the ball to Rabotham. Rabotham a long three. It's good! And the Rebels win it at the buzzer! The Rebels win it at the buzzer! Now Rabotham's three gives them the victory over BYU!
On a step back.
UNLV, BYU. Looks like we might be going to a double overtime. Well, how about a three? We're down one. We only needed two, but we shoot a three. Money. Noah Robotham. Got it. 92-90 overtime win. UNLV.
UNLV top 10 on ESPN, UNLV basketball. I'll bet, Mags, if the odds on that, if Vegas or the Westgate had odds on UNLV having a top 10 play this season, man, what would you say, 50-60-1?
I would say there was a better chance of Armani Rogers having a top 10 play on ESPN than the basketball team.
Noah Robotham, are you kidding me,
yeah,
really?
A guy who's taken a lot of heat from some people in the media. You know,
both my toes and my feet are in my mouth right now.
Well,
okay,
you know, I mean,
I'm one of them.
He look, The reality is, no score, Houston. Chris Clyburn fouls out as they basically allow a 17-point lead to evaporate. Just a look, I said last week, let's give Menzies a little bit of time here and see what these young guys develop into at the end of the season. And was he playing four freshmen and sophomores last night? I don't think he had one. Robotham was the only senior who played after Clyburn fouled out.
You had a lot of guys in double digits, and yes, you would be correct.
And my guy, I've been telling you for 3 weeks, Joel Entombwe.
Double-double.
Kid is going to be a great player here. He's got a high motor.
And, I still like Bryce Hamilton.
He plays the right way. Look, he's got some. So obviously, there's some of these young guys can play, and some of these young guys have some heart. And I think we need to cool it on what we're expecting out of Menzies this year. But look, the team clearly won a game that I don't think a lot of people thought they were going to win. I think I was shocked when they were up 17 at the half. I'm even more shocked that they won in overtime, because that's an experienced BYU team.
It is, but the second half was a debacle that they nearly gave this game away after being up 17 points.
Nearly gave it away.
No, you're right. They won the game, high scoring, 92-90. I'm giving them credit. Hey, they're blazing. We didn't play the music, but Blazing, by the way, is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango. It is we'll say it's a Hail Mary from Centennial Hills Hospital. We'll be there tomorrow night, by the way. The Saints and the Carolina Panthers.
Is that your last one of the year?
I think so.
Because next week is Christmas Eve.
Right. All kinds of playoff implications. We'll be there tomorrow, giving away lots of stuff. Definitely check it out. The next time I'm there with Caleb. I don't know if you'll be there with us Super Bowl Sunday.
I don't know.
But we'll be having a good time out there. But UNLV, I gave them the blazing. I'm going to say that was a huge win for this team. T-Mobile Arena, it was nice. But I am not going to say that we should base or bank anything on this game. I've seen this before. I am still not sold. And again, the second half was bad. And they did get to overtime, a couple of free throws by your boy at the end, and then, of course, BYU missed a late triple, and it went to overtime, and Robotham hits a shot. All they needed was a two-pointer, but he hits the three, but basically time clock was running out. It's the biggest one of his career, and it will definitely shut a few critics up like me for a minute, but I'm not going to base that on one game and work.
You can't. It's ridiculous to say, oh, well, a week ago we wanted this guy fired, but they won a game today, so all of a sudden his job. No, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't work like
knee
that.
Knee jerk doesn't go either way. Like, you shouldn't overreact one way, and you shouldn't overreact the other way. I think one of the things, like you mentioned it, the step back three was not the shot you needed. That's one of those things where if he misses that, maybe the whole narrative does change
you
about
get crushed.
This game, because the
you
game,
get crushed if he
like you said,
it.
The first half you're up double digits, and then you end up in overtime. It's like, how does
it
that happen?
Been a really
so it would have been
it
a disaster if you lose that game. But I want to point out something like that Mags was talking about, the fact that four underclassmen, like sophomore freshmen, played 30 plus minutes in a critical game. So like, Menzies trusts his young players, and his young players are going to have a lot of experience because of the trust that he's putting in them. So in my opinion, he's banking on the future right now, like saying, I'm gonna develop these guys to the best of their ability. We talked about it last week. They don't have that one guy who's a superstar who potentially could leave and ditch the team after a year. So everybody's going to be around. The young core is going to be there for at least a couple more years, in my opinion. So I think that benefits Menzies' leg to stand on, so to speak, when you start talking about the future of his job security as a UNLV head basketball coach. And I do think that the young potential is there. Do they develop the way that we project them to is the question. I think that's what Mimsy's job is at this point, is to develop the young talent. And right now, he's doing the right thing, which is giving them minutes. They're all 30-plus minutes last night, and he trusted them when it mattered. And the senior of all of them stepped up and made the game-winning shot. So a big win for UNLV. I don't know if it tells us anything about the rest of the season, but it was a big win for what it was.
Well, and one of the things you got to look at, and, it's one of those things where a lot of people around town still think UNLV is a major program. The reality is, they're not. We may want to think they're a major program. People may want to think it's 1990 again, and you're going to walk into a Final Four, and you're going to that's not going to happen. The reality is, you can make a Final Four if you're UNLV, because we've seen it with VCU, we've seen it with Loyola.
We could see it with UNR.
Exactly.
This year.
We could see it with that other school in the state.
There you go.
But
that's who they are.
I'm sorry. You guys cannot mention them. I'm not
but,
in the
but, but the thing is,
North.
Exactly. The Community College of Truckee, Reno, and Sparks.
Oh, my God. Here we go again.
Yes.
But the thing is,
hatred.
If you look at what all these schools have in common, you could go to VCU, George Mason. They all had seniors, guys who played together for 2-3 years before they made that run. Jim Larranaga didn't just walk into the gym and throw the ball out and George Mason made a Final Four. He built something with young guys, and they lost when they were freshmen. They started to win a little bit as sophomores. Junior and senior year is when these guys started to excel. Be patient. Wow. There's some good young players that Menzies has brought in. I'm telling you, I'm in love with Joel Entombwe. I mean, he's awesome. I really like watching him play.
I already told you, I like Hamilton. I think that guy.
Well, he's another one.
I think he has tremendous upside. But what I really am amazed at, and I'm appreciative, even though, you know, to have two UNLV alum in here that are both talking positively and they're serious. It's not a thing of being a homer. It is they see some light at the end of the tunnel. Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm sorry that I'm going to be the dark rain cloud on this ordeal, but I'm going to keep it real. I hate this doing this stuff because it's taken personally. There's never anything personal. I like Coach Marvin Menzies. I respect him. He has been nothing but cordial. He's come on the show, and I'm looking forward to seeing where he ends up next year. And I'm going to leave it at that because the bottom line is, I don't care what kind of positivity you are seeing, he is going to have to find a way to probably win 20 games and get an NIT bid to keep his job. I still do not see this team doing that.
Here's the thing. Like I said last week, you're giving this guy basically 2 years because that first year he walked into a dumpster fire and he arguably walked into the worst situation of any college basketball coach in the history of the game. He had three players left when he walked into that room. I still think you throw that away. I don't think you count that against him. And I think if you're going to judge him on this year, you judge him based on how the team played in the Loyola or in the Loyola Marymount game versus how they're playing at the end of the year. And if this team is improved, I don't care about win-loss record. Throw that out because look, it's always going to be tough to win 20 games when a majority of your players are freshmen. This isn't Kentucky. You're not getting five-star recruits. He's building something with 3- and 4-star guys, and you know what? You can't judge him this season based on the record. You judge him based on how well his team is playing. You know, if they lose 10 straight games and they get blown out in all 10 of them at the end of the year, then you know what? Do what you have to do. But if this team is in every game and they push San Diego State and they push that garbage school in Reno in the Mountain West Conference tournament.
I love
you
guys.
You have to be patient.
Right. So that's a key word. Patience is a key word. In both sports, both major sports in college, I think people these days have lost the idea of patience or the concept of patience. I think, in my opinion, you shouldn't even think about firing a guy until he's had an opportunity to take his first recruiting class. That is the guys he recruited as freshmen, and he is able to build them to what he saw as their potential, which is their senior
season.
That's five seasons.
Magnum's turned into Perry Mason, and Caleb's turned into Allie McBeal. I mean, my guy,
Allie McBeal was an attractive girl.
I was trying to think of some other attorneys.
I think Lucy Liu was on that show, wasn't she?
She was on that show.
It's not even about Tony.
We're
litigating
here, guys. I agree with you. You know that it's only as we're judging him on 2 years. You got to throw out the first year. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I am telling you right now, there is no way in hell Desiree Reed Francois can justify keeping both these coaches if they both have losing records and have no postseason appearances whatsoever. There's no way. Tony Sanchez, we already know, is safe. He's been voted safe. He's good to go because Fertitta tweeted out that UNLV is getting no money, and we knew the minute that tweet came out, he was safe. Menzies is going to be the scapegoat.
No, I disagree.
Okay.
You can and they will, because if the team is playing well at the end of the season.
I agree with that. You're saying 13 wins will keep his job? No way.
I am in the camp that you don't judge him this season based on the record.
Chris, I'm right there
and
with you.
And I'm with Caleb. Look, He's only, in theory, had two recruiting classes. The first recruiting class was a bunch of guys that nobody wanted.
You know what's happening when you when you battle with two UNLV alumni?
No, there's no winning.
There's only the greed of losing.
We're the worst.
I'm going to wave the white flag and say, you know what? Marvin Menzies is going to get a 10-year extension. No, guys, I hear what you're saying.
Nobody's saying that. And look, and here's the thing. Caleb's right. Me and him are both alum. We're the harshest critics in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I can't believe I'm the one on the other side today.
Because I think both of us are realistic enough to believe that you don't judge a guy based off of 2 years.
But you know, you're not hearing me. I am saying I agree with you on he shouldn't be judged. But unfortunately, he is going to be a scapegoat. Unless, like you said, the team shows major improvement. We see all kinds of things. The players come out to his defense. Anything can happen.
We have seen improvement. They should have won the game last week in Illinois.
If this team wins four games in the Mountain West this year, he will be fired at the end of the season.
If they win four games in the Mountain West, then clearly the team did not improve.
Okay, if they win seven games in the Mountain West this year, he'll be fired.
Depends on how they play.
Okay, we'll see. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to all agree to disagree. I hope he does great. I hope they go to the NCAA tournament, and I hope they beat the crap out of Reno two times this year. I'm a fan. I'm just, like you guys say, I'm a realist. I can't see this guy, based on what's happening, keeping his job. And I'm not saying it's fair that he doesn't, if he doesn't, by any means. That's why I said I'm looking forward to seeing where he's coaching next year. I hope it's here. I just don't see that happening. I can't see them winning enough games to justify it. And like I said, you have to look at the second half of games, too, as well as
I'll just say this. Last thing. If you fire him after only giving him 2 years, assuming you cannot get the one guy that you want to coach.
It's 3 years. I know you want to throw out the first year, but it's three years.
Hear me out.
Okay.
If you can't land that guy that you think everybody in the city wants, what young coach is going to put his neck on the line and come to this program if you haven't shown any confidence from the very beginning in the last coach?
It's a good point, but there's an old thing. Money talks, and something that stinks real bad walks. Okay,
if you fire Menzies,
we've already heard rumors about Rick Pitino.
We've heard rumors about
what's his face from Colorado State, Larry Eustace.
Okay, but hear me out. Hear me out. If you don't get Pitino, who says Larry Eustace is going to be approved by the Board of Regents?
He might not be, but if you get Pitino, what are you getting him for? $800,000 a year? Good luck with that.
Are you assuming
that Desiree's going to hire Pitino with that black eye on the road? I don't think so. I'm just saying the point is
the rumors are out there. And Caleb, for those rumors, you're talking about big bucks is my point.
Yeah,
so they're
bucks.
Saying they're willing to spend big bucks to get a basketball coach that will reinvent the culture of this program.
They're willing to get big bucks to get Rick Pitino. Will they be willing to get big bucks to get somebody else?
Somebody else, sure. If it's the right name and the right fit, yes. Listen, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to come back, talk a little bit about the Golden Knights, and I really want to get these two girls on the radio. They were both at the game yesterday, the Las Vegas Bowl, and know as much about college football as anybody in this room. Well, I mean, Caleb did play quarterback in college, so maybe he knows a little bit too. But we'll be right back. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio.
After the offensive zone draw, Knights regroup at center. Nope. Lindbergh drops it off for Tuck, charging left circle, around behind, wraparound score! Tuck steps it on the backhand, and the Knights take a 1-0 lead. And he works it ahead to William Carlson into the zone, right wing. Marchessault back to Carlson. He scores! The speed through center. Marchessault to Carlson. And the Knights lead 2-0. Paddled further by Locarrier. Left wing shot. Glove save. Score! It was in the glove of Schneider. He tried to reel it in. It came down between his legs and into the goal. And the Knights lead 3-0 with 10:37 to go in the first period. It goes back up top. Vatanen on the right side at the point. Works toward the middle. Passes right. Feet down low. Quick stick in front. Score! Travis Zajac for the Devils. New Jersey on the board and now trailing 3-1. 3 minutes into the second period. Tipped up top by Marchessault. Smith to the left. Carlson shoots. He scores! William Carlson. Knights lead 4-1 on the power play goal from William Carlson. And at the right side of the crease, he couldn't get it on goal. There's a shot. They score! Miles Wood for the Devils. And now it's 4-2 Vegas. Wraparound score for Palmieri. Right off the draw. Palmieri dipped behind the net, and on the backhand, he stuffs it through the crease inside the long post, and the Devils are within a goal. Plays it down to the right corner. Walking out in front, collision, loose puck, grab, it's in the goal! It looked like Holden was in position to pull it away from the net mouth. Instead, he put it into his own net. It's a tie game, 4-4. Hischier tries to work through Schmidt. Now it's Johansson left side. Looks for options, feeds back door in front, loose puck, they score! Devils win it overtime.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Well, you heard that long soliloquy of goals. I mean, it was ridiculous. And the Golden Knights scored the first three. Halfway through the first period, they're up 3-0. I mean, Alex Tuck's wraparound goal was as pretty as any goal you're ever going to see, his 11th of the season. Carlson got two more. He's up to 13 now. So all those of you worried about William Carlson, he's finding the puck. Palmieri, he's kind of ridiculous. The Devils, 17 goals this year, and he's an older guy that's really putting the puck in the net. But to me, this was a really bad loss. Nick Holden, I don't know. Mags, you said it during the break. The guy panicked. And it's worrisome. They have to look at this. He really, to me, he has been kind of an anchor on this team. And when I say an anchor, I mean holding the ship from doing what it needs to do.
I disagree. You know, Holden is, yeah, he's made some mistakes, but he's also made some really big plays. There's been some moments where he saved goals. So
it's okay to put one in the net, in your own net?
Look, it's one time. It's but he did make a big mistake. I think it was in the Chicago game.
Mm-hmm.
Where he turned it over at center ice and basically gave a guy unimpeded into the net on Fleury. I think it was a 2-1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the reality is you have some other guys that you can mix in. Brad Hunt, John Merrill, guys who've played in this league for a while. You know, Brad Hunt, he's a different player than Nick Holden. Brad Hunt brings a little more on the offensive end than Holden does. But look, I read that Jonathan Marchessault was really, really angry. Basically made comments that it was a slap in the face to lose that game. When Marchessault says things like that, the team responds.
They do.
And you know what? I grew up hating the Rangers. I grew up a Devils fan. So if they're going to blow a game, I'd rather it be the Devils than to the Rangers. So let's hope they respond big today and they go out and they put an ass whooping on the Rangers.
Yeah, well, maybe they will. I'm not a big Devils fan at all. They did some damage.
Yeah, I seem to recall that.
The Detroit Red Wings.
Sweep, break out the brooms for that one.
Yeah,
the unbeatable Red Wings in 1995.
Almighty.
Dominic Hasek. No, was it Hasek? No, it wasn't Hasek. It was Osgood.
Chris Osgood, yeah.
The unbeatable Red Wings. Yeah, that worked out well.
I'm not real happy about that series, and I've never been a New Jersey Devil fan because of that. But, you know, I think in overall, my point was, and what I wanted to ask you and move on, but, you know, it's a bad loss after a 3-0.
Bad is an understatement.
What kind of a carryover effect can this have?
I don't think there will be.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Because I'm around this team all the time, and they seem to put things behind them very quickly. Look at how they responded after that Calgary game. They go up to Calgary. They get shellacked 7-2. Game was over in the first period. It was 5-0 in the first period. How they respond? They just went on like a 4-game winning streak. So I'm not going to panic. It's not the end of the world. They still got a point. But the problem is everybody else in the division keeps winning, and it hurts to drop a point when you really had 2 points in the bag.
We'll see what going forward. I think they'll be fine like you do, Chris. I just, you know, a lot of people talking last night like, wow, what a bad loss. It was. Let's move on and segue into the – I got to get these girls on the air. You guys were both at the Las Vegas Bowl yesterday. It's become somewhat of a tradition, but the one thing I wanted to talk about first and foremost – hold on a second. Let me turn this thing around if it'll work. There we go. I'm trying. Okay, there we go. But the crowd. I mean, it is a bowl game. It is Las Vegas. And the section that was empty was probably the locals. That's where they get their tickets from. But still, you see a lot of games. I mean, this is an opportunity. And you're talking about Arizona State that's not that far of a commute. And, you know, on the other side, Fresno, a team that's in the top 25 in the country, representing the Mountain West. And it was the worst crowd I've seen in 5 years at the Las Vegas Bowl. What did you guys think? Were you expecting a full packed house at Sam Boyd?
I don't think so. No. But we did think, you know, we're coming from the Bay Area where we'll be lucky at Stanford, a team that is, you know, usually in a good bowl game to get maybe 10,000 fans. So for us, it was great. And we got to see the resurgence of the Red Wave, which was awesome for Fresno State. I think you lost a little bit with the entertainment.
Oh, God. So, you, come on, Elvis. I saw you bopping when Elvis was up on stage, Em.
I think that when you're going to have a game between a Fresno State team, that's middle California, okay, Arizona State, that's big party town,
Arizona.
And you're gonna throw two guys up there in their underwear.
Well, the diapers, the guys, you know, first of all, I think it was for a future Depends ad, because I did not understand. I mean, these guys, obviously, extremely strong, yeah. Cirque du Soleil, but the attire, put them in tights or something. They had them in Depends. I was just amazed. I wondered, like, it was maybe they had some kind of problems and they needed to wear those things.
We heard a lot of things on the sidelines that were, you know, people commenting on what was going on up there. So
they couldn't have felt comfortable in those things, right?
I
didn't feel comfortable watching them. Caleb, tell me something. Did you see the half? Did you see what we're talking about?
No, I didn't see it.
Did you hear about it?
I've heard about it. I've seen responses to it on social media, and it's like it's not the entertainment choice that you should make for a halftime show.
Can I ask you if they would have told you to play college football, you had to play in one of those things, would you have played college football?
No.
Okay,
I'd be a basketball player right now. You'd be talking to former UNLV basketball guard.
It's like I'm not playing in a diaper.
I think I don't want to disparage Las Vegas Bowl. I think they did the committee did a great job.
They
put on, you know, an awesome show, and the team hotels were great this year. People were milling around. There was a lot of people involved, and I think for Fresno State, it's a huge victory. You know, the resurgence of this program. You get to see Tedford talk about bringing them from 1-11 all the way, you know, to the first 12-win season ever.
Couple of NFL players, kids, Keyshawn Johnson, Ronnie Rivers.
Oh,
pretty cool, man, wasn't it?
It was great.
It was a great game. Maybe you have really high expectations for the fans there.
No, it's only because, Kaylee, that's what it's been. It's usually sold out.
You have to look at these two teams, and yes, you know, there's going to be a lot of Arizona State, but for a long time, for the last few years, like, Fresno State has not had fans at all. You know, Jeff Tedford talked about not being able to even get three fans in the stadium.
He literally said
so the
three.
Fact that people actually did travel from Middle California out here to see this game is actually kind of a win for them. And he did talk about the Red Wave and how proud he was that people showed up. So I think it was a win on their end.
And I think it wouldn't be anything to worry about anyway, because I think the stadium, if anything, is one of the worst parts about the bowl game. It's just the fact that you go to this bowl game, and usually the bowl experience is a little bit more elevated, but for, like, you know, Arizona State, the Pac-12 facilities are a lot better. But this is going to be one of the last times that the bowl is going to be held at Sam Boyd. I'm pretty sure that the bowl game is going to move to the new stadium as well, where the Vegas Bowl is going to be played.
One more year after this, and
Rebel/Radiator State. So that will be a draw in itself. So the Vegas Bowl is going to have a resurgence regardless of who's playing in it in a couple years.
You know what it is? Caleb played at UNLV.
Yeah.
And he knows how bad the locker room smells.
I know how bad it is.
I mean, that locker room, it should be condemned. It should be condemned. Caleb would, like, come into the interview, and when he would leave the interview room to go to the locker room, you would see him hand him, like, a pair of nose plugs before he went in there. I mean, we're talking about ancient, and things need to be done, but that will be the new facility, will be excellent. And, guys, moving on, okay, good bowl game, kind of what everybody expected, but now we're talking, there's a lot of bowl games coming up and a lot of ones to look forward to. Real quickly touching on the FBS playoffs right now. Nothing that we didn't expect. It all came down at the end. We knew it was going to come down to Oklahoma and Ohio State. It was pretty apparent. And I think they made the right choice, and I was happy. I was worried Urban Meyer and his legacy was going to find a way to sneak in there. And I was very happy that they let Oklahoma get in there again. I think you've got the right four teams. I mean, I think Notre Dame is a pretender, and we're going to finally see that and them get very exposed. I think Clemson is going to beat the hell out of them. But I just don't see either one of these teams beating Alabama, and that is even including if Chris Magnum Chapman ended up at quarterback. They would still find a way to win the national championship. That's what I feel. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. None of these teams are going to beat Alabama, so it just almost feels like a waste. But at least we'll get to see some exciting games, hopefully, up until then. But I agree with you with Notre Dame. I do think that they're kind of a pretender. We got to see them a couple times this year. And great, they're good against the teams that they played against. Sure, they're undefeated. That's great. But they've never gone up against a team like Clemson. And I agree with you. I think that it's going to be lights out for Clemson.
I was really excited to get credentialed to the Cotton Bowl. Until I realized that was the semifinal between Clemson and Notre Dame. I'm still excited, and it's a great venue, so that'll be cool.
Well, you're excited because you're going to get to drink a lot more because you don't care about the game. Hey, Emily Van Busker, Kaylee Grish are with us today. Sideline Sass, great podcast. You guys got to check it out. They've got some really funny ones. If you go back in the archives, one with Joey Chestnut that I love, the famous a guy that can eat like 6 million hot dogs, which is really cool. And
74.
You embellish.
Also disgusting.
A million, put it this way, if they put a million in front of me or 74, for, I'm not coming close to finishing either one, so it doesn't matter the pile. I mean, but it's a pretty cool thing. Definitely check those guys. Caleb Herring is here, of course. He'll be doing a color commentary for UNLV women's basketball coming up soon. He did UNLV football. He's been the color guy for the last couple years. Does a great job, and of course, the last quarterback to lead UNLV to a bowl game a couple years back, which was pretty cool. And of course, Chris Bagno-Chapman behind the big board and the wheels of steel. What bowl games, other games, are you looking really forward to?
That's a good question. Yeah. I was going to go to the Cheez-It Bowl solely because there's a big debate about whether they are going to give out Cheez-Its.
Lifetime supply.
Like, what? I'm wondering what's the media gift there.
Caleb, let's get some tickets, brother. We're going.
There has to be some
media
sort
credentials.
Of perk, but so that's Cal TCU. I'm also curious to see how Wilcox's defense holds up against a Big 12 team. Now, granted, TCU season's been disappointing at best, but I'd like to see them in a real test, not just a Pac-12 team. So we're excited for that. Holiday Bowl actually is on our list. Utah-Northwestern, I think, is going to be a great game. Utah with a disappointing finish in the Pac-12 championship, looking to redeem that a little bit. And you can never sleep on Coach Witt. He's phenomenal. I love winning him.
I'm really looking forward to this UCF versus LSU.
Yes.
That's going to
be. Thank you for bringing it up.
That's going to be such a huge test for this UCF
my God.
Team.
I tell you what. I mean, this is like the underlying story to me. I think if Milton doesn't get hurt this season, I wouldn't have been shocked. I would have actually liked to see UCF get into the top four, just because for the simple fact that last year when the way they crushed Auburn in their bowl game, I think they warrant kind of the respect where they go undefeated for basically the last 2 years. Can we at least see them get blown out? Right. Can we get some parity instead of having the same old? But because he gets hurt, I understand him not getting in. So I would really love to see them come out and beat LSU and just put it to him and claim the national championship once again. That would be awesome if they could do that.
It's just going to be really hard to do without Milton.
Yeah,
now.
It's really, really
tough.
You
know, and I was just going to say, guys, I feel like I stepped into the Twilight Zone. UFC is going to get so beaten.
UFC?
UFC. That's what I'm saying. Seriously.
That was on purpose.
100% on purpose, because UCF turns into UFC without Milton. Okay.
Dana White becomes a quarterback.
100%. Guys, gals, here's the deal. Let's be realistic. This bowl game just turned into a crap pile. And I'm sorry to tell you, LSU is a good football team.
Yep,
and
they
are going to beat
the same thing about Auburn last year, that they're going to beat UCF so bad. And what
did
happened?
Did you see
UCF
what Memphis
destroyed
did?
Destroyed them.
Did you watch that game?
They lost the game. Ohio State lost to – who did they lose to this year?
You play to win the game.
If you don't win, it doesn't matter what you did between the lines, because you didn't win the game. I'm just saying it's a storyline that I think is interesting in college football.
It is, and it's
a situation where you know Alabama's going to win it. In the top four, you look at – you got to look for the other storylines. I think
We're reaching for other storylines. Okay, I got it. Because the bottom line is, like I said, I would be looking very forward to this game had Milton still been around.
Same.
He is absolutely the heart, soul, and body of this team. It is a tragedy what happened to this guy, especially how serious this injury appears. We may never see this guy in a gridiron again. Very possibly never.
Yeah, he's had four surgeries so far just to save his leg.
It's not
even trying to get him back on the field.
It sucks that he had – I mean, it's career ending, it looks like.
It
can go either way, though. So you get a story like this with a gritty UCF team. I mean, we went out to Spectrum Stadium. We saw what is there and what they're capable of. Even with Mill on the sideline, you've got two options. You either rise to the occasion, you do it for this kid that led you this far and made you better, or If he was a lights out linebacker,
I would say you might still win the game. He is a quarterback that was even at times talked about in the Heisman Trophy running. So you were talking about a catastrophic loss to this poor. I'll give him the credit. The poor UCF team.
All I'm saying, Brian, is if UCF beats LSU. In my mind, they can say they're the national champions this year. I don't mind them saying that this year. They can say it again. I'm perfectly fine with that.
I'm going to say this right now. If UCF wins this football game, the next time the five of us are in the studio together, we are going to be eating a gourmet breakfast on me. And I'm not even asking for anything in return. That's how sure I am that I am not going to lose that wager right there. So listen, one of the bowl games I'm kind of looking forward to, and it's a personal thing, Michigan State and Oregon. I really am. These are two teams that have both looked really good, and at other times have both looked really bad. If these teams show up for the Red Box Bowl.
Yeah, I forgot about that, Levi.
The Red Box Bowl.
I heard we're getting coops for that.
Oh, my God. I hope so. But if they both show up for this game, we could see a really good football game.
You know Oregon's favored, right?
Yes, they are. And they should
2 points.
They should be favored.
Their quarterback's one of the most, NFL. He's one of the top NFL prospects. He's awesome. Legit. So,
when
I mean, he's going to be.
Person, it's like. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. And he just walks into a space and you want to do anything he tells you to do. Right. He just has this charisma about him and this leadership that is an amazing quality.
Definitely the it factor for him. I'm always excited to watch the Mountain West. I mean, being a former Rebel, I like watching the Mountain West because usually the Mountain West fares pretty well in bowl season. Like they come home with
their own.
And right now they have an opportunity to sweep. I'm just looking at their schedule. You got San Diego State versus Ohio. Yeah. A couple of really winnable games. I think Hawaii La Tech matchup, Boise State, Boston College. A couple of those. That's left on the docket. Fresno State beating Arizona State. And Utah State crushing North Texas. So those games started off bowl season good for the Mountain West. I'm always excited to see where the Mountain West finished because it's good for the conference and, I guess, in a roundabout way, good for UNLV to strengthen the conference,
I
guess.
You get lifted up.
So.
I agree 100%. Yeah. Caleb Herring, Kaylee Krish, Emily Van Busker, Chris Magnum Chapman here with us. And the one game that I am concerned about, I'm intrigued, but I'm concerned, is the Washington-Ohio State game. I mean, I have a feeling this Rose Bowl could be really ugly. When I say ugly, I can't stand Ohio State, obviously, being a Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
And I am worried that this could be a really ugly football game. Yeah. What do you think? Are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, you mean like Ohio State's going to kill them.
Like kick their butts up and down the field.
Washington was one of the biggest pretenders. I mean, we cover a lot of Pac-12. That's kind of our
They have a very experienced quarterback.
I understand, but he's not. He's like deceptive.
I'm trying to find
him. I love Jake Browning. I will back him all day long.
He must be handsome. Is he handsome?
He's a really good kid. I got to cover him when
he must be handsome, Kim. That tells me he's a really good handsome kid.
I covered him in high school when he played at Folsom, and so I do like the kid. I think he's really good. I think he is a great quarterback. I just think, last year they were so high on this, getting into the playoffs, and I think they just thought they could walk back in again this season, and they were a team that just fell immediately.
He got benched. Like, that's how good of a quarterback he was this year.
Everybody's gotten benched.
In the Cal game. I'm sorry, they were playing in Berkeley, and the coach saw how bad he was doing and said, "You're benched." That's how good of a quarterback Jake Browning is.
That is telling.
So
that
I was really disappointed.
I really
wanted Washington State to win that game, and I think we all did.
I think without the conditions, they win that game. They need something.
They win that game without that. Just like you were saying with Mountain West.
If it's going to snow in Pullman,
it should be your advantage, right?
That should be your advantage.
But the way that they play, I think that's where their style of play kind of bites because they air it out, and you can't air it out in a blizzard. Like, it's just not going to work. So I mean, that game, Washington, I think has it. Run into a buzzsaw with Ohio State right now because Urban Meyer announcing his retirement, I think, is one of those things that's like the team's going to rally around that idea and send him off on a big hoorah after, what he's done for the program, obviously. This is first time being in the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. So, I mean, there's an extra emotional push for Ohio State where, a lot of people may have been disappointed that they didn't make the top four, but going to the Rose Bowl, one of the more historic bowl games of all time, is I think a good you know, a good second runner-up prize for Ohio State to get. And I think they come out and play inspired football, which is not good for the Huskies. And
I think it's good. I say it's going to be bad, but I do think because Washington's so balanced with Gaskin at running back, that there will be some sort of, you know, a push on offense. And their defense, as we saw in the Pac-12 championship, is phenomenal. I mean, they create turnovers. They create chaos everywhere. So I think they're going to make it difficult, but I don't think it's going to matter. That's
my difficult in the first 5 minutes of the game. That's where I think it's going to be difficult. Listen, Mags, it's time for a fact this, something a little bit interesting, so go ahead and hit that.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Well, it's a fact. LeBron James and Lonzo Ball both had triple doubles last night at Charlotte. I know Caleb loved
this.
Yes,
they did.
And it is the first time two Lakers have had a triple doubles in the same game since Magic and Kareem did it in 1982. Also a fact, with the Cleveland Browns win on the road in Denver last night, they are still alive to make the playoffs with two games left in the season. This is good for both the NBA and for the NFL, respectively. Caleb, why is that?
Well, LeBron James and Lonzo Ball are doing what I think everybody wanted them to do, is bringing L.A. back into the limelight of NBA basketball. Whereas, you know, you still got the Warriors, you still got, you know, those major headlines. I think the NBA now has spread its reach to where these smaller market teams like Toronto, for instance, who don't really do much. They're not really known. Milwaukee, who's not really known. They're getting, you know, they're due and they're getting served. But the major markets like L.A., we're kind of dwindling for a while. LeBron and Lonzo are bringing that Showtime effect back to the Lakers. So it's good for basketball to have the Lakers in the running and in contention for postseason play. And it's exciting to have them. Cleveland has been terrible forever. So to have them with
Lou at the UNLV?
He might be the next UNLV head basketball coach.
Not UNLV game. He was at the Las Vegas Bowl.
He might be the next, you know, the next basketball coach for UNLV. He might be in the running. Talking about it earlier. But
there we go.
No, the Cleveland Browns bringing good.
Will he take $200,000 a year?
He'd take what he can get, I think, at this point. But no. So I mean, the Cleveland Browns being in contention for the playoffs is huge. I think it was a storyline going into the year because obviously they got, you know, the Hard Knocks bid this season, so everybody kind of had their eyes pointed towards
Cleveland.
Emily loves
Baker Mayfield.
So it's kind of, I mean, everybody does at this point. He's doing everything right now. Yep. Former Heisman winner, he's coming in his rookie season. Arguably the rookie of the year.
He's showing everybody who daddy is this year.
That's what he's doing. He's backing up the talk. So I think him coming out and showing and playing like the way he talks and backing it up on the field, and Cleveland just being a good team. I think Cleveland is one of the most desirable head coaching destinations for next season if they decide to keep their current interim head coach, and that would be a whole other thing. But I think Cleveland being in contention was the storyline of the preseason, and it kind of stayed consistent. They were the story. They lost their head coach throughout. Baker Mayfield, how will he play? They've answered some questions. I think it's good for sports when these smaller market teams make do and get their money's worth.
I think very well said. That's why I had to do these. Caleb Herring, also here, Emily Van Busker, Kaylee Krish, Chris Magnum Chapman, and I'm Brian Feldman. And listen, I very well said, and I knew you'd do that because it's exactly what I feel. Great for those two sports. L.A., as you said, the big market. And speaking of big markets, Boston's winning streak stopped last night. By the way, do you know who stopped their winning streak?
Detroit?
The Detroit Pistons.
I just assumed since you were smiling from ear to ear.
Like that Caleb's always looking out for the wellness of sports. Like, this is my favorite thing.
I love
thing
sports.
About he's looking out for the goodness of the game.
That's all I want. Like,
it's great.
I want sports positivity to be enjoyable week in and week out. Like, I don't want to look at a week on the schedule and say, they're playing them. I don't want to watch that game. Like, I love the fact that there's parity in sports. And,
that's awesome.
You know, teams, LeBron going to L.A., bring some parity back to sports where it's not all about the Warriors in the West. Like, that's not the storyline all the time. So, I love that.
I heard
Cleveland
is
relevant.
They're
like
redoing
his
contract, and next year he is demanding that they are called the LeBron Lakers.
No.
I just want you to know.
He can never change that. Okay. That they will be forever the Lakers, and they will forever be L.A.'s team, so the Clippers can kick rocks.
People still ask me, who's your favorite team in the NBA, and I always say LeBron James, because that team goes
whatever
to the finals every year.
Well,
8 straight years they've been. If your kid's 8 years old, it's LeBron James all the way through, right? So, I mean, pretty incredible. Okay, we got to take a break real quick. We will be back. It is time to talk NFL Week 15. All kinds of playoff implications going on. Some big, big, big games today. And, of course, we've got our picks of the week coming up. Caleb and I on the right side of that. Chris Magnum Chapman coming down. I'm right in between. I'm coming, guys. I'm coming. Out of line, Fox Sports Radio. All right, I guess we're back. There we go. Every now and again, Magnum falls asleep. It doesn't happen very often, but once in a while.
Well, no. In my defense, I have to get the remote set up that's after this, so I unfortunately was talking to those guys and just lost track of
them. Okay, you were watching Liverpool. It's fine.
No, it's halftime. It's halftime.
it just shows where we stand in the pecking order, Em.
Yes, well, yeah, I'm
there,
sorry.
There we go. Out of line. We got about nine. Well, we don't have that long. We have
about four minutes.
Yeah. So we're going to get into the NFL. Guys, as I mentioned, guys, gals, you know, Cleveland is in the running. It's amazing. There's still 26 teams going into today in the running to make the playoffs, and I was shocked when I saw the Detroit Lions were one of them. Don't get excited, Detroit fans. There's really no chance. Caleb, you won last week. You picked the Raiders.
Yep.
You said you wanted every one of the 10 points, but I went bold and I ended up betting them on the money line. I still can't believe I won that bet.
I can't believe the Raiders won the game.
It's amazing.
The kicker slipped.
Yeah, I know.
Game-winning field goal. Like the gods are in your favor, yeah. Oakland. Yeah. Like, good job. But
you know, it's one of those things. There's a mystique. The Steelers suck in Oakland, and they have, just like the Patriots suck in Miami. There's certain teams that just have issues at certain places, and that's one of them. Overall, girls, I'll ask you before we do our picks, and we're going to have you be guest pickers today. Who do you like this year? I mean, is it New England and Kansas City in the AFC and the Rams and the Saints in the NFC? Do you see anybody challenging those four teams?
You know, once it's pretty much the Packers are out, I usually fall asleep for about a week.
If I would have known Kaylee was a Packers fan, she wouldn't be in here right now, just so you know.
Packers
have a little bit close, like a little more of a chance than the Lions do, just going to put that out there. But
slightly.
I really don't see anybody contending with those two teams. I mean, what the Chiefs and the Rams have done this year is just, they've put on the best games I have seen in years and years. So I'm really excited to be watching them. And I mean, you know,
and if Kareem Hunt just wouldn't have thought he was in the UFC, Kansas City might have a much better chance. What a terrible tragedy.
Also, Jared Goff went to my high school. So
I know that. I remember you've told me that before.
Nice plug.
I wasn't a huge Jared Goff fan out of Cal, and boy, I changed.
That's the problem. You know, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. It's time for the picks. Girls, I'll give you each one. Give me a pick this week. Look at your schedule and give me anyone. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean,
Can I say Chargers? Who do they play?
They already played.
They won. She's taking the Chargers.
That was my pick.
Over the Chiefs. Yeah. What a great pick that is.
I did pick that, so.
Okay, we'll give it to you.
What about Atlanta over Arizona? I'll go with that.
You can't. Anybody. If the Lions beat Arizona, anybody can. Okay. Chris.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans. The line actually opened the Giants laying 3. No Odell Beckham for the Giants. Titans now laying a point on the road in New York. I don't know. It just seems like the guys who make bets seem to know a lot. So if that line moved like that, I'm going to go with the Titans.
Titans for Mags. Caleb?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Packers beat the Bears.
Yes.
And I'm going to say because Aaron Rodgers is second time seeing the Bears on defense, and he's going to, I think, make the adjustments he needs to make.
Wow is all I can say about that. I don't see that happening at all, but I will tell you, let me ask you a question. Is Mark Butt Fumble Sanchez quarterback in the Redskins this week?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yep. Jacksonville Jaguars all day long. I'll give 20. This is out of line. We're here every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Thanks to Kaylee Krish, Emily Van Busker, Caleb Herring, Chris Magnum Chapman. Appreciate y'all. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. See ya.